Mighty God of Jacob, the covenant-keeping God of Abraham. Indeed, great has been your faithfulness to us in this year 2022 that is coming to an end. And with hearts of understanding and gratitude, we worship, we honor, and we thank you. Faithfulness, even when we were not faithful, because every good and every perfect gift comes from you, the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Watching over your word to perform it, showing mercy to millions and billions who don't even know you, like you did show to us before we even came to know you. We worship and honor you tonight and give you a place of honor and preeminence as we assemble. Lord Jesus, merciful and faithful High Priest, ever living to make intercession and truly saving us to the very uttermost. We've seen your hand in this year, your hand of intercession. In this year that is coming to a close in the next few hours, we return to you all the glory and give you a place of honor, lordship, and preeminence in this watch night crossover service. And Lord Holy Spirit, the giver of life, the strengthener from within, the right hand of God, you who release the intercession of the Lord Jesus into the earth through the intercession and prayers of us, your people. Lord, Holy Spirit, we worship you. We are so grateful for your great faithfulness. You helpeth our infirmities. When we were weak, you strengthened us. When we fell, you lift us up. And indeed, in spite of our faults, in spite of our infirmities, you have brought us to this point at the end of this year. We return to you all the glory. We thank you, Lord Holy Spirit. We worship, honor, and sanctify you in our hearts and in our midst, giving you a place of honor, preeminence, and control, that you will come and inspire, empower, and direct all of our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. That everything we do in this watch night service will be to your to the glory of the name of Jesus, the edification of us, the church, and the subsequent and consequent blessing of the rest of humanity through the ministry of the word, through prayer and intercession, that your kingdom, your dominion will be enforced, and your will be done in our lives, in our nation, Nigeria, in the whole world in 2023. In Jesus' wonderful name we worship.
So great
is thy faith. Great is thy faithfulness.
Morning by morning, new mercies we see. All we have needed, thy hands have provided. Hallelujah.
Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto us.
In Jesus' name we worship. Let's give the Lord a super clap offering. Hallelujah. And then we may be seated. What a year. What a God. What faithfulness. Who could have seen at the beginning of last year all that took place this year? Only God Almighty. Not only did he see it, he had gone ahead to look after us, to provide for us, to strengthen us, and to see to it that we are here tonight. Turn to your neighbor and say, thank God for his faithfulness. I will see you this same time in 2023. A clap offering for the Lord. You know, folks, as I was standing there and we were worshiping, this scripture just popped into my mind. It's not part of my message, but it just popped in. You know, God has a way of talking to you, you know, and he says, you know, go to ye that say, I will go to this place and I will buy and I will treat in James, you know, and we'll stay there a year and trade, get profit and come back. He said, what is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little time and disappears. He said, rather you should say, if the Lord will, we will live and we will do this or we'll do that. It is the height of presumptuousness for any human being to say, by my own strength and by my own power and by all my own wisdom, I will be here next year. You're not even sure of tomorrow. Now, of course, if you know God, thank you, Jesus. He just reminded me of something. I've been asking him since morning, and he just gave it to me now. But it's not your business. You know, but it's related to what I'm talking about. It is only if you know God and you are walking. It's not enough to be born again. And you are walking with him. And you are trusting. Not even in your knowledge of him. Not even in your ability to pray. Whereas all that is important. You're going to do all of that. So I'm not knocking that. But trusting in his mercy. And in his faithfulness. And in his grace. It is only men who trust in that that will be here next year. For certainty. So turn to your neighbor and say, congratulations. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. That's the key, folks. It's trust in the mercy. So if I say I'll be here next year, I'm not saying it by my own power. I'm saying it by the mercy and the grace of God. Shall we bow to pray? Maybe just before I pray, we've done this online, but let me just say it. I want to thank every single one of you for coming to Lagos to come and honor my mom's memory, attending the funeral. I know so many of you were able to come. You know, I'll do this again tomorrow because we have a service tomorrow. We are going to be in church tomorrow. Some of us are now because, this Sunday watch night thing, it's every 7 years. The last time we did it, we hadn't started Good Morning Jesus. Because Good Morning Jesus was started in 2018. So we've done a 7-year full cycle. So we are going to be here in church. A clap offering for the Lord. The watch night service is not going to take too long. By 12, 1 will be done. So you'll be back home by 2. Take a short rest. What's wrong with you? Some of us do this every day. You know, you get up by 5, pray, you know. Service won't start at 9, it'll start at 10. You'll give that concession so that we can have a little rest. Then we'll come for the service, you know, and then after the service, you can then go home and really rest. And then, of course, the next day is a public holiday. So there's plenty of time to rest. Turn to your neighbor and say, God knows you need to rest. And he has made provision for you in Jesus' name. So on behalf of my wife and I, my brother, his wife, and all our family, we say a big thank you to every single one of you, you know, for honoring my mom's memory and coming for the service, in the funeral service we had for her in Lagos. And indeed, God was merciful and good to us. I've been told by my team, the audio team, the service will be available on YouTube maybe by tomorrow or so. So if for peradventure you were not able to come or you want to review some of the thing, you'll be able to watch everything on YouTube in Jesus' name. Thank you and God bless you all. Hallelujah. Amen. Honey, thank you. Shall we bow to pray? Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you for your tangible presence that is already in this service. For indeed, we see the fulfillment of your word that you inhabit the praises of your people. And you've done that again tonight. As we go into the word, we humble ourselves afresh under your mighty hand. I pray for fresh unction and anointing. Firstly, upon my heart and my lips, so I will speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present here, as well as those who are going to be hearing me remotely, electronically, so that your word will flow freely from you, through me, to your people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray, as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yes, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and are hearers only. I further pray for mercy, be faithful, to deliver this word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bring it out of the treasure of this word, things new and old. Indeed, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Now, I have a very important New Year prophetic message for us, not just us, but the church. And it's entitled, it's a year of comfort, vengeance, and glory. I actually gave this message 16 years ago in 2006, thinking that it was going to be fulfilled at that time, but it wasn't. You know, that happened even with the New Testament apostles and prophets. There were many things they thought was going to happen, but as the years went by, they saw it was correct. It was God, but it wasn't time. But the time is upon us. And you will see this as I proceed in this message. 16 is a significant number because it is 2 times 8, which is the witness of new beginnings. And as I proceed with the message, you will understand better. Because, see, God is a good God. I didn't hear you. I don't know if some people doubt whether God is a good God. I said God is a good God. You know, I was teaching a few weeks ago in School of Perfection, and, you know, we're teaching from Matthew, I think it was, you know, and he says, if you being evil know how to give good things to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? And Luke, it records it as give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. Why would Jesus say that? Because, you see, many times men doubt the goodness of God because of the bad experiences they've had in their lives. People have prayed and they didn't get answer to some of their prayers. People have prayed for loved ones who were sick and the people didn't get healed and they died. You know, so many times in our lives, there's been an accumulation in the background of our minds of a lot of disappointments. You know, and we say, well, if God is there, you know, I prayed and I did the best I could. I don't know why God didn't do this. Many of us do not openly rebel against God because we know that is wrong. But somewhere at the back of our minds, somewhere in our subconscious, there's this thought that, well, you know, you never really know. But and that is what James, this is what I was teaching in School of Perfection a few weeks ago, was trying to correct in the book of James when he said that let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. He said, for God tempteth no man, and he cannot be tempted with evil. But every man, when he's tempted and drawn away of his own lust. And lust, when it brings forth sin, and then sin brings forth death. He said, the next statement is critical. Every Christian should go and write this, not just in their hearts. Do not err, my beloved brethren. In other words, it is an error to ascribe evil to God. Do not err, my beloved brethren. And then the next thing that comes out of his mouth, you know, is that the fact that, you know, in him, every good, he says, don't err. Don't make this mistake. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shall. He is not good today and bad tomorrow. He is not bad yesterday and good today. In whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You need to be established in that in your Christian life. Sadly, many of us are not. Because, like I said, of bad experiences people have had. And many of us, you know, fall into the trap of Job. Horrible things happened to Job. And Job was a good man. Even God testified of that. So you begin to ask the question, if good people like Job, and Job said, even if I die, I will maintain my integrity before him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But there were still questions at the back of his mind. Then he kept telling God, you know, I helped the widow, I helped the poor, I did this, I did that, you know, and so why would you allow this kind of thing to happen to me? His friends who didn't have as good understanding of God as Job did, all of them were wrong, including Job, but his friends were more wrong, if you like. You know, they were even far out. They kept saying, oh, Job, you must have done some terrible thing. Maybe you committed adultery. Maybe you are a hypocrite. Maybe all this thing, your good things you're doing is just superficial. You know, for God will not allow this kind of thing happen to you unless you must have done something wrong. You know, and Job said, no. Say, you're not better than me. I didn't do anything wrong. And he was right. Job was right. He didn't do anything morally wrong. But later down in the book of Job, God now says, who is this who darkens my counsel, whose words are without knowledge? And the scripture is very clear in the book of Hosea, in the Old Testament prophet. He said, you know, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. That's what happened to Job. It wasn't a lack of doing moral things. Job was morally upright, but he was omitting spiritual law. And that opened the door for enemy to come in. I put us into remembrance of that to say that, you see, when bad things happen to us or Christians, you know, and even though we're good people, in quotes, in terms of morally upright, I didn't sin, I didn't commit adultery, I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, I didn't steal, I didn't womanize, I didn't, you know, all the things we consider to be bad things, and they are bad things, you know, and yet, you know, this good man, why would God allow that kind of thing to happen to him? It builds this, is a stronghold, it builds a history in our subconsciousness that makes us begin to think that, yes, God is good, but why would this happen? And what I just told you now is the answer. My people perish. Good people. Job people. I use Job as a type. Job, good people like Job perish for a lack of knowledge. And that's what God told him. He said, you darken my counsel. Because he started trusting in moral good works and he neglected spiritual law. And that problem still exists today. Comfort, vengeance, and glory. So in these last 16 years, God has given the church, we thought it was going to happen that year, 2016 happened. You know, God, that's what I said, God is a good God. He said, I give them space. to the church in Laodicea and one of the other churches, I think Sardis somewhere. He said, I give them space. God's given us space. These 16 years, witness of new beginnings. He gives space for us to get our act together. And I want to thank God that in scripture, pastor here, to the glory of God, by the grace of God, you know, I thank God for mommy starting Good Morning Jesus. Good Morning Jesus has helped so many people. All of us know that before, it wasn't that we were not praying. But you know, the day you like, you pray. The day you don't like, you don't pray. Some days you will wake up late, you won't pray. Some that goes for 3-4 days. Then you gradually correct it again. Let me see all the honest ones who are going to heaven with me. All right? We know what we're talking about. But since that 2018, I'm saying, how many people can say, honestly, their prayer life has gone up? They have changed. Not inconsistency, not just that you're doing it, but you know, you can even see the purity in your life, the change in your thinking, the change in your attitude. If you are, give me a wave offering. God was getting you ready. God knows what he's going to do. I'll tell you something, folks. God is going to do what he said he's going to do. He will not. He doesn't change. But because he's a good God, and he's kind and he's merciful, he gives us space, time, in order to correct some things in our lives so that we can be ready when he begins to do what he's going to do. And so that is why the Holy Spirit spoke to me that this is, you now need to go and preach, for the time is now. Turn with me, first of all, in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 61, the great prophetic proclamation by the Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave at the beginning of his, around the beginning of his ministry in his home synagogue. They didn't have churches in those days, but they had synagogues, you know, in Nazareth. He was instructed by the Holy Spirit to make this declaration, which declaration I actually made also earlier on in 2022. And it is still current. You see, it's what the Bible refers to as present truth. In other words, this is truth that is presently being prophetically fulfilled. In other words, the time for the fulfillment is present. That's why we call it a present truth. And so the Lord Jesus, he read this scripture. You find that in Luke chapter 4 somewhere. But I'm going to read it from Isaiah because I'm going to contextualize it in the context of its present day prophetic fulfillment. When Jesus said it, he said it in the context of the fulfillment of his own time and ministry. And there was something he left out. He left out the vengeance. He didn't talk about that. He stopped. But today, we cannot leave that out, because that is going to be a part of what God. That is why it is comfort, vengeance, and glory. I'm going to read Isaiah 61 and following. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I didn't hear you. Because he has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. If you read the King James in Luke, it says poor. That's why this Isaiah one is, you know, the King James people translate it. But really, the word is meek. I could go on and on about that. But let me just quickly, because when the Holy Spirit flashes me, it's flashed me now, you know, I'll quickly, you know, tell you. You see, the word meek is a crucial word. It means teachable and humble. Of all the things Jesus told us that we could learn about him, Jesus had wisdom, he had power. He didn't say, take my and learn of me. He said, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Why did he pick that one? Why did he even say, learn of my wisdom? Why did he say, you know, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden? And many of us are like that. Good people, we love God. we pray and we're laboring, you know, intercession, you know, waking up early in the morning, fasting, all that is labor. And many times we feel a heaviness, you know, when we are doing those things. And it's not wrong initially, but you see, the more meek you become, and that's why it's in one of our, the first confession of every day, I choose to fear God. So I humble myself, submit to the will of God, even when I don't feel like it, especially in prayer, knowing the certainty of his judgment if I disobey, and the security of his mercy when I obey. So I am more, it's an essential prayer. I know you are meek already, but you need to be more meek. So I am more meek and lowly in heart, you know. And I, what's the last part of it? You know, I am more meek and I'm lowly in heart, and there's something else. And I remain small, thank you, relative to God in my own sight. I didn't pick those words out of a hat. I was led by the Spirit to put, because we all need it. And that's why he said, he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. In other words, it's the meek that are going to enjoy the good things. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim or declare the acceptable year of the Lord, this 2023, and the day of the vengeance of our God. Jesus did not read that in Nazareth, because in his own time, it was not going to be fulfilled. But today, it's going to be fulfilled. To appoint, I got ahead of myself. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them that mourn in Zion. We're going to come back to that. Beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they that mourn in Zion, might be called the trees of righteousness. One of the other translations is oaks of righteousness. The planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. We're seeing the glory now. And they, these people who are mourning in Zion, these people who are being comforted, will build the old waste places. I didn't hear you. And they will raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and the desolations of many generations. This prophecy is being fulfilled as I speak, and we're going to see more of its fulfillment as we go into 2023, which is the reason for this New Year message. You see three things here. You see comfort, you see vengeance, and you see glory. Comfort for those who are mourning in Zion. I'm going to explain that in a minute. Vengeance for those who are at ease in Zion. I'm going to explain that. And sadly and regrettably, a great majority of the church, two-thirds, the Bible says two-thirds shall be caught up in Zechariah, they're at ease. They haven't got a clue. I don't want to sound arrogant. So, you know, many of them don't have an understanding of the times and what is happening. They think it's business as usual. And a lot of people are going to be in for a rude shock. By the time I finish the message, you'll be able to appreciate more of what I'm saying. This New Year message is a sobering message. It's not every message that is, you know, people, the Bible says, you know, they like to just, you know, give you a lot of hype, and just make you shout and all of that. I'm just going to tell you the truth. Like I've said so many times over the years, you know, I'm not your servant. I serve you, but I'm not your servant, you see. I'm God's servant, and you don't dictate the menu. God does. My own job is to serve you. And I'm not going to play to the gallery just to make you shout. I'm going to tell you the truth so I can save you. So I can bless you. So God through me can bless you and fulfill His word and His purpose to you in Jesus' name. So you see those three things. Everybody say comfort, vengeance, and glory. This, the manifestation of the glory of God through individual leaders that have completed the temple of God in their souls and bodies is going to take place. As typified, I shared with you last year, you know, this 2022, you know, expecting that the glory of God would have put around time, Feast of Tabernacles, which is still going to happen. But we saw now in the book of 1 Kings that the temple was finished in the 11th year of Solomon's reign. You know, anyway, it took 7.5 years, but it was not dedicated until the year after, you know. And we saw that in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 2, verse 11, when he began to manifest the glory of God in Cana of Galilee, it was not attached to a feast day. So that's an individual thing. The individual thing is not attached to the time of the feast in particular, but it's, of course, it synchronizes with the season, but not with the day or the hour. And that's what we're expecting now. So those who individually have completed their temples can now manifest on an individual basis the glory of God. So these people will cause the glory of God to come into manifestation. And that glory will bring comfort. It will bring comfort to those who are mourning in Zion, you know, and who are following after these people. Like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And the glory will come and it will comfort them, you know, and it will be made manifest. So it will bring comfort to those who are mourning in Zion, but vengeance to those who are at ease in Zion. And sadly, so many are. You know, people laugh at us. I say laugh, you know. Mock. The Bible says scoffers will mock, you know. And say, they've been talking about these things, you know. They also say, oh, you don't need all of that. You don't need all that prayer. You don't need all that fasting. Why should you be getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to pray? That means in our language, was it you that killed Jesus' mother? They say that, symbolically, you know. You don't have to go through all of that, you know. You can just take it easy, you know. After all, the Bible says his yoke is easy and his burden is light, which is a complete misapplication of that scripture, you know. And you should just, you know, the Bible says they're at ease in Zion, and I want to show them to you because you'll be able to identify a lot of Christians by this, and more importantly, yourself. And if you see yourself there, that's the purpose of prophetic messages, to help you to change. Look at them in Amos chapter 6. I just got a tweet from heaven. You know, God hears your heart. He hears what people, it may not be people who are here. It might be a few people here. Maybe people are watching me online. God hears the heart. You know, when you talk, God knows what you're saying inside your heart. Somebody just said in their heart that I don't like all these Old Testament scriptures. I don't like them, you know. I don't like that Old Testament. Jesus is in the New Testament. Jesus gave food to the hungry. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. That's what I like. I don't like all this. It's the same God. He has never changed. In fact, Jesus is tougher in the New Testament than he is in the Old. It's because you haven't read enough of him. If you see his statements to the churches, the seven churches in the book of Revelation, you'll be wondering whether you're reading the Old or New Testament. But it's New Testament. He has not changed. See, what people don't understand, honey, is that when God has a purpose to fulfill, he's not going to allow anything or anyone to stop that purpose from being fulfilled, because it's for the greater good. And that's why he gives us space, like he told in the book of Revelation. There was one silly woman, you know, who was teaching in one of the churches, called herself prophetess. You know, God, Jesus called her Jezebel, which is a type, you know, and says that, you know, he said, you better tell her, and those that are committing adultery and fornication with her, they better change. He said, because if they don't change, he says, I will kill her children with death. And I will cast them into great tribulation. New Testament. He said, but I gave her space to repent. He said, but she did not. He said, and this is what I'm going to do. So all the churches will know that I am the God who judges the reins and the hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. So, repent! So, he gives them another space. Give the Lord a clap offering. I know people don't like those. You know, whether you like it or not, that's the God I serve. And we're not going to change the Bible for anybody. Amos chapter 6. I'm going to read verse 1. Now read verses 4 to 6. We're talking about those who are at ease in Zion. See if you can identify yourself with this. And if you do, repent. Get rid of it quick. Woe! I didn't hear you. To them that are at ease in Zion, that trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named the chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. Let me just give you that. That just means people who are involved in idolatry, which is what a lot of the church today is. To idolatry is not just going to bow to these gods, you know, graven in images. Back in the Old Testament, it was like that. But in the New Testament, idolatry is covetousness, worshipping of money. And it's rife in the church today. Two churches in the book of Revelation can be used to identify the great majority of the church today. Not all the church, but a large number. Laodicea, and this other one I spoke about, I think it's Sardis, I don't remember which, you know. The one where this woman, Jezebel, was, and he said, I will kill her children with death and cast them into a great bed of tribulation, except they repent. The Laodicean church is this one that trusts in Samaria. It says, I am rich. I have need of nothing. It says, you are poor. You are blind. You are naked. And you are miserable. It said, I would that you were hot or cold. He said, but because you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of your mouth. The same thing he's saying here. These are people who are ease in Zion. They're in Zion. Zion now, in this context, referring to the whole church. Sometimes Zion refers to the perfect church. But in this particular context, it's referring to the whole church. Verse 4. Let me show you their characteristics. They lie upon beds of ivory. I didn't hear you. Don't be afraid to read the Bible. They lie upon beds of ivory. You know, an ivory bed is a bed of prosperity, you know. You spend a lot of money to get an ivory bed. And God is not against us being prosperous. Don't get it wrong. It's just, he doesn't like us to indulge and use it for the pleasures of the flesh. These guys should be getting up early in the morning to pray. Instead, they will sleep on the bed of ivory. And stretch themselves upon their couches and eat lambs out of the flock and calves of the midst of the store. He's saying they oversleep and they overeat. That's it. Correct interpretation for today. It's not wrong to have a bread of ivory. It's not wrong to eat of the cow, you know, nice food and eat meat. No. But it's wrong to overindulge. Like I was joking with the pastors and some of the brethren yesterday in Lagos. We finished my mom's funeral, you know, and we're all coming back. I said, remember today's watch night service. And we're going to fast. So I said, all the one you want to eat it today. So all the pack that they gave you and all the meat chicken, you should have ate it yesterday. Not today. I don't know if anybody's still on my side. Today should have been a fasting day. No, this is not the day to eat lamb. Yesterday was okay, but not today. He's telling us those who are at ease in Zion, they oversleep, spend hours in front of television and books. They overeat, they don't fast, they don't pray to the degree that they should. He's describing them here. They chant. That chant. Verse 5. I don't know. Maybe people are still on my side here. That chant to the sound of the viol and invent themselves instruments of music like David. Have you met these kind of Christians who don't pray and all they do is just praise and worship? I've met them. They'll tell you, oh, no, you don't need to do that. God inhabits the praise of his people. And, you know, when I get up in the morning, I just lie on my bed. And I just play nice tape. And I just praise the Lord. And, you know, everything is just fine. You know, he says, they chant. God sees everything, folks. Is it wrong to listen to music? No. Is it wrong to praise and worship God? No. Yes, those things are right. But there is a time for everything under the sun. Praise and worship is very important. I worship God every day. I listen to nice Christian music, you know, and chant. I do these things. And it's not wrong to do them, but on a foundation of prayer. There is no, you cannot substitute one for the other. Paul and Silas, at midnight in a jail, they didn't start by praising God. People always say, oh, they praise God. Yes, they praise God, but read the verse before. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Don't twist the word of God and use it as an excuse for spiritual laziness. They chant and invent instruments of music like David. The Bible says they're at ease in Zion. It's not wrong to sing. No, I do it. I who am talking to you, I do it, and I'm not a hypocrite. But I pray. It's when I've prayed, then I worship and I praise God. Yeah, I saw one place, you know, they have all these funny things on YouTube now, you know. 36 hours continuous praise. I shook my head. 36 hours of continuous praise? When are you going to pray? See, they say, it's at ease. It's that they've twisted. It's the Bible, but if they've twisted it. There is a place for praise and worship. We've had praise and worship this evening. Lovely praise and worship. You know, when Iron Fair was leading, where I came down, you know, and I joined you in the praise and worship, there was a point when the anointing fell. I felt it in my hands. The tangible presence of God, especially as we went towards the end and we went into the worship. The tangible presence of God came down. Like that. We didn't spend... We can't use this whole service to say we are praising God because we're thanking him for what he did in 2022, then there is no word, there is no prayer. That's a total misapplication of scripture. And a characteristic of those who are at ease in Zion, as described by the scripture. Verse 6. They drink wine in bowls. I didn't hear you. And anoint themselves with the chief ointments. But they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Many are like that. Anointment there means like perfume. And you know you're wrong. I use nice perfume myself. But you see, what God is saying is that these people are, they're the kind of Christians, they like all the benefits of Christianity. They like the healing. They like the prosperity. They like the protection. But they are not ready to make any sacrifices. All they want is the blessings. They don't want any of the obligations. They don't want any of the discipline. God says they are at ease in Zion. And you know what he says? Woe to them. This 2023 that is coming. And if peradventure you fall into any of these categories, there's a simple thing to do. Just repent. I'm going to have the opportunity to do so by the time we end this message. And we're going to pray. That's why God is sending me to you. Because he loves you. And he doesn't want any woe for you. What he wants for you is blessing. So he doesn't want you to remain at ease in Zion. He wants you to be grieved with the affliction of Joseph. You should be dissatisfied with the present condition of the church. And all the problems that the church has, and consequently the nations, including Nigeria, especially Nigeria, and America too, and even the United Kingdom. You know, I gave a statistic the other day. There are less people who are professed Christians now. The atheists and the people who say they don't believe in God, officially speaking now, are more in England, United Kingdom, than the people who go to church. That should grieve you. Say, God, what are we going to do? So, glory will come to those who are following the leaders as they follow Christ. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And they will partake of the borrowed anointing. That's why it will be glory for them. People are mourning in Zion. Like the 12 apostles and the 70 partook of the glory that was on the Lord Jesus Christ. They took a share. God took part of what that anointing on Jesus and put it on them. So they healed the sick, they cleansed the leper, and they raised the dead. These people who follow these people, these are the people who are mourning in Zion. They are going to be comforted by that glory and that manifestation. Now, why? I've told you what it is now. Now, let me tell you why. Why is this happening now? Because it is the time of the harvest. Follow me in Matthew chapter 13. We're going to look at two scriptures. Matthew chapter 13. And then we're also going to look at Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. And Malachi chapter 4. The end of chapter 3 and Malachi. They're very important prophetic scriptures that are presently being fulfilled. Matthew chapter 13. How many people are still on my side? Give the Lord a wave offering. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're still on my side, give me a wave offering. And then give the Lord a clap offering. So, you know, when Jesus preached some tough messages, the Bible says many of his disciples didn't like it. So they went back. You know. Don't your neighbor, you will not go back in Jesus' name. No, I say it to them. Don't your neighbor, say you will not go back in Jesus' name. You will not find this a hard or a grievous thing. because it is the word of God. Give the Lord another clap offering. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. And another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, everybody say, while men slept. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't sleep spiritually. Oh. The people who sleep, say it after me. The people who sleep spiritually sleep because they are at ease in Zion. While men slept, these enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy has done this. And the servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go up and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. The day of harvest is upon us. These 16 years, God has allowed the wheat and the tares. And not just 16 years, but from the time I gave this message the first time. These years, we've seen it in the church. The wheat and the tares have grown together. And you know, this is what gives people this false sense of security and false sense of confidence. Oh, well, you know, we've been doing what we've been doing and nothing. In fact, we've been blessed. You know, materially, that is. I was listening to somebody in one of the I think it's charity or one of the groups today. You know, on sometime, you know, I I'm the senior pastor, so I have access to all the groups, the choir, the charity, the Beulah, all the different groups. So sometimes my eye would just catch a particular post. This one was very good. It was by Derek Prince. The person just says, this change message will change your life. I said, well, I've listened to Derek Prince over the years. So it wasn't more than 5 minutes, you know, but it's very, very good. I'd actually listened to it before, but I found it very, very, you know, inspiring and instructive. You know what Derek Prince said? He said, majority of the church are living only for the blessings of this life. Then he quoted that powerful scripture, two of them. He quoted the one in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, he said, we are of all men most miserable. He said, most of us are only following Christ because of the material blessings we can get. We don't have eternity in view. We do not have the glory of the resurrection in view. Those things don't matter to us. And it bears repetition here, you know, in this, you know. That's why the tares, you know. Notice he sowed good seed in the field. Everybody born again. Everybody. But then while some were lazy and were at ease in Zion, the devil was able to come and sow things into their hearts and in their lives. All of them children of God. All of them born again. This is not unbeliever. Get that nonsense out of your mind. And I'm going to prove it to you when I give you the interpretation that Jesus gave. It's not talking about sinners. This is saints. The lazy, those are easier. They allowed, while they slept, Satan came and he showed. And then when the angels saw them, They said they wanted to root them up. God said, don't touch it. Leave it. Until the time of the harvest. 2023, harvest time has come. Only, thank you, honey. Only my wife and Pastor Gwega said amen. and Mary too. I say harvest time has come. Give the Lord a clap offering. Watch this. Harvest of good and harvest of evil. Watch this. Let me contextualize the message. Put it in the context of the message. The harvest of glory and the harvest of vengeance. He's given us time. God is a good God. You know, when I think of by the grace and the mercy of God, I'm going to say it like Paul. Not just because Paul said it, but because it's also true. You know, I, yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me. You know, I want to thank God for my wife. I want to thank God for all my pastors who have stayed faithful and have helped me. And because they're great helpers, they've been an Aaron and Hur to me all these years. You know, I remember, Pastor Gwega will remember, there is nowhere in Nigeria I've not gone. My wife and I were practically paying the bills for the television. Not from church. How much were we making in church? It was from LifeFort and our own personal money that we sponsored television program in Kaduna for 7 years. England won Revelation Television for years. It was when I had 4 children in university at the same time. Dara was in Harvard. Itunu was in University College London. Studying medicine, very expensive. Monyolua was in Cheltenham Ladies and then moved over to SOAS, School of Oriental and University of London, you know. And my niece, Larissa, was in Reading. We're paying all those fees at the same time. And God said, your children are your priority. So I went to the people. I said to them, you better help with this thing. I said, my wife, I said, we've been faithful. We've done 7. 7 is God's number of completion. If you don't give enough, and I'm not going to come and trick you and beg you and tell you that you're going to get breakthrough in 2 days and all this rubbish that they tell you so that you can give money. If you don't, I will have to pull those programs. And I did. I, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Not only that, you know, we did, the website was there, we had books. That was so, a lot. But you know, people, either you pay attention or you don't. But when I finish the message, you'll be able to understand better. See, God has, the time of harvest has come. What you did or did not do with the word of God, the result is going to come out in 2023. You can't say amen, say oh me. Let both, verse 30, Matthew 13, 30, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather together first. Everybody scream, first. I'm going to show it to you later on. First. See, you know how it's going to be, honey? The first thing we're going to see is vengeance. As it says, first. Tears. But almost immediately, because it's almost simultaneous, it's just that there'll be a slight time delay between the two. The first is going to be vengeance, then the glory. So it's going to be vengeance, glory. Vengeance, glory. Vengeance, glory. Vengeance, glory. I didn't hear amen. You know what God told me? Just whisper to me now. He said, don't look at their eyes. The book of Ezekiel. Then they set their face like flint. He said, they are not your servants. Or rather, you are not their servant. And I'm not just looking at the scripture, but I'm looking at people on television. Let both grow together until the harvest. Everybody say, harvest time is here. The harvest of vengeance and the harvest of glory. It's going to be together. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather together first. That's why it's vengeance, then glory. The tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Let me just put a little bit of a spin on that. You know, it's going to be confirmed when we read the interpretation in a minute. But let me just quickly say it because of the carnal mind. It doesn't mean they're all going to hell when they say burn them in the fire. You know, it's talking about the fire of affliction, things like premature death and those kind of things. You know, when the judgment comes. Now, in a few extreme cases, it can even mean hell. These are Christians. They're not sinners. The tares are not sinners. They're Christians. Verse 36. Same Matthew chapter 13. Thank you, Jesus. Same Matthew chapter 13. Then Jesus sent the multitude away. I just got a tweet. You know, anytime he wants to give deep revelation, he sends the multitude away. He only shares the deep things with the disciples. All the multitude heard was a good man went to sow seed. And, you know, the good and the, you know, that's all they heard. So it was after the multitude have left. And went into the house. I didn't hear you. It was Peter's house in Capernaum. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that sowed the good seed is the Son of Man, Jesus. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The tares are the children of the wicked one. Now you can interpret that and say, oh, well, that means they were not Christians. You're talking about both of them were Christians. Children means productive. It means the result of. See, one set of Christians became a product of the kingdom. The dominion of righteousness, peace, and joy. The other set of Christians lived after the flesh and produced the seed of the devil. In other words, you know, adultery, fornication, pride, are all those things. That's why Galatians tells us that. It says, you know, the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. So you can't do things you should do. But if you through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you will live. If you don't, you will die. It's wheat and tares. The enemy, verse 39, that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. How many people know that we're in the end of the world now? The end time. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. The reapers are the angels. This is not Olubi's interpretation. This is Jesus talking. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. We're in the end of the end now. glory of God, manifestation, discipleship of the nations, the rapture, the first flight, the tribulation, and Jesus returns. We're in that time now. You need to read my book on Revelation in a nutshell. They're all on Amazon and all that. You can just Google it. The Son of Man shall send forth. I didn't hear you, folks. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of the world, out of his kingdom. They are all in the kingdom. They are all Christians. And shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and they are in the kingdom. I said I'm going to confirm it. I'm not just talking off the top of my head. The tares are Christians who slept, who were at ease in Zion. And so the enemy was able to sow into their hearts, and then they brought forth the fruit. We can call it fruit. They brought up the fruit of the wicked one. That's what they call the children of the wicked one. They're not children in the sense that they're not born again, but they brought forth the fruit of the wicked one, which is what the Bible calls the lust of the flesh. Stay with me now. I'm going to read that verse 41 again. Everybody, open your mouth and read it with me. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom. Turn to your neighbor and say, out of the kingdom of God, the church, not the world. It's all Christians now. All things or beings that offend and them which do iniquity. Let me just give you a short thing in there. You know, when we're talking about iniquity, we often think about, you know, that's what we've been taught over the last 2,000 years. Anytime we think of iniquity, we always think about moral sin. Adultery, fornication, drinking, drugs. Oh, that person is a very terrible person. Iniquity, you know what it means in the Greek? Lawlessness. You know the correct full epignosis understanding of that scripture? The Christians who practiced lawlessness. Now, what is the law in the New Testament? He said, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. It's the law of life and the law of love. You don't practice those things, you're practicing lawlessness. Thank you, Pastor Guiga. One amen. That's what lawlessness is. It's not only just moral. You see, all the moral things are a consequence of this root. So that's why you need to put your act together. I started teaching John, I'm probably going to do that tomorrow during the service, you know, about, you know, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. See, most of the church, they want power, they want spiritual, but they don't want to follow after charity. It will corrupt the anointing. So, he will gather out of the kingdom all that offend, I didn't hear you, and them which do iniquity, and cast them, these people who offend, into a furnace of fire. Notice it's not the furnace of fire, not necessarily hellfire, but, you know. And they shall be wailing, I didn't hear you, and gnashing of teeth. Then, everybody scream then. Look at the condition. It's Jesus talking. Then shall the righteous shine forth like the sun. He's talking about the manifestation of the glory of God. Of the kingdom of their Father, who have ears to hear, let him what? He's talking spiritual level. If you don't have ears, you won't hear what I'm saying. You'll be listening to something else. You know? He said, then. In other words, the righteous cannot shine until the tears have been removed. That's why it's vengeance and glory. First, the righteous cannot shine until the tears have... You know, sometimes you wonder, look at how much we pray. And I don't say that boasting. I say that, you know, by the grace and the mercy of God. Fast, pray, blah, blah, blah. I say, God, what's happening? I'll tell you what's happening. A lot of the power that is being generated is being used to cover for the iniquity of those who refuse to. You know, if you see your brother sin, what do? That's life for them. God will take power from what the righteous is generating to cover for the iniquity of a great mass. And God has done that for years. In righteousness, with the hope that they will change. With the hope that they will repent. So when he said, I gave them space, not just time, he also covered for them. That's why we call it covering. He also, you know, protected them when they didn't deserve it. He also, it's a repetition of Israel all over again. Remember in the history of Israel, especially in the book of Judges, you know, and down through the whole of the history. And, you know, they will go and they will follow Baal and Ashtaroth. You know, problem will come. God will raise a judge, a deliverer. The deliverer will deliver them. They will serve God for 40 years. Then they will go back again. I remember. It went on like that. Centuries. That's how good God is. There are many a time he would be grieved, but then he will remember that they are but flesh. Find in the Psalms. But when you now come to 2 Chronicles chapter 36, somewhere in there, a good Bible student can help me get the scripture. But this is the essence of what it says. It says, and you know, he sent to them prophets, rising up and sleeping day and night. He says, until there was no more hope. He had to now deliver Israel into the hands of the Babylonians and packed all of them. That's how Daniel was taken to Babylon. All the people, the kings and the princes, and they packed all of them, got all of them, he captured, took them out of the land so that the land would enjoy its Sabbaths for 70 years. Nothing has changed. People are still the same. God will bless, help, cover them. Instead of them to repent and start doing the right thing, they'll say, hey, you see, you don't need to do all of those things, and that's why I'm blessed. You're blessed because somebody else paid the price of intercession. Not because you're doing the right thing. And if you don't repent, the season of harvest and vengeance is upon us. Say, Pastor Luby, why are you being so hard? Because I love you. So you will not get vengeance and you will get glory. So you will not get vengeance, but you will get comfort. But you need to change. If you haven't changed, those of you who have changed, just keep getting better and better. And this message is not even so much for us here in Scripture Party, because a lot of us are, by the grace of God, moving in the right direction. Some, a few may not be, you know, and those who are listening. You see, I'll tell you something about God that people don't understand. God could have killed Pharaoh's son the very first day he sent Moses. He had the power to. But he didn't. So I said, why? Because it becometh him to fulfill the royal righteousness. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? That's God. That's why God goes through the process of giving us warning, time, space, so that when finally his judgment and his vengeance and his glory falls, everybody will be able to testify, including the wicked, that God gave them time. That's why it becometh him. We wonder as if he's wasting time. You know, the plague of flies, plague of lice. Why didn't you just finish them one day and just bring Israel out? That would have been, he could have done it, but he would not have been righteous. So he gave Pharaoh space. He gave Pharaoh
time, even though he knew it wouldn't change. But he still had to go through the process for justice to be seen, not just to be done, but to be seen to be done. Oh, give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears. This is the parable of the tares and the wheat. Until the tares are removed, the righteous cannot shine. Because the power that they will use to shine has been used to cover for the iniquity of the tares. Is it clear? Malachi chapter 3. Don't worry, I'll soon be finished. I'm laughing. People don't understand. See, yeah, like I've said it so many times tonight, I'm God's servant, not your servant. I serve you, but I'm God's servant. Malachi chapter 3. And let's look at, I'm going to read from where should I start from? I can't read everything because of time. I just summarize and then just read one or two verses. See, Malachi is talking prophetically about our time. He says, you know, the Lord will suddenly come to his temple. It will be like a refining fire, blah, blah, blah. That's in verses 1 and 2. Then he gets down to where we talk about tithe. He said, you've robbed me, all this nation. They haven't been giving God his tithe and offering. And that tithe is only money. It's all tithe of your time and all of that. You know, I'm not going to go through all of that. Then he finally goes on to say, you know, in these last verses, that many of you, he's talking about us, the church, is prophetic. So he's talking about he wasn't talking about Israel mainly there. He was talking about the church prophetically. He said, many of you have said it is vain to serve God. That what have I gained by fasting, by praying and all of that? The wicked, people who are not doing all of those things, they are prospering and everything. That let's just look at those two verses. He says, verse 13, your words have been stout against me. I didn't hear you. Saith the Lord, Malachi chapter 3. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against you? And you have said, it is vain to serve God. Hello? What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, that we have walked mournfully before? Remember Isaiah, where it says, you know, he will comfort those that mourn in Zion. These people are complaining. That I've prayed, I've fasted, you know, and I've not seen any result. What have I gained? That we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. And now, we call the proud happy. And they that work wickedness are set up. They that tempt God are even delivered. How many people can identify with this? I can. Because it's the truth. It's happening as we speak. It is present truth. But look at the good news. Verse 8:16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day. Don't your neighbor say, that day is this day. When I make up my jewels and I will spare them. Spare them who? Spare them who feared the Lord. Spare them who were mourning in Zion. Spare them who were doing the right thing and looked as if, you know, they're fools. And the other people were not doing other things. Everything was just, you know, seemed to be working for them. The proud are happy. That I will spare them. I didn't hear you. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And as a man spareth his own son that serveth him, then you shall return. Some people have come to come back. Discern between the righteous and the wicked. Between him that serveth God and him that serveth God. You know what's going to make it clear? The vengeance and the glory. When the vengeance comes, you will know that these were the ones that were not serving God. When the glory comes, you will know this is the one that is serving God. Chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. For behold, I didn't hear you, the day cometh, turn to your neighbor and say 2023, that shall burn as an oven And all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly shall be what? Stubble. For the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and he shall leave them neither root nor branch. He's talking about vengeance. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with what? Healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow. Again, you see this thing, vengeance and glory, vengeance and glory, vengeance and glory, vengeance and glory, vengeance and glory. It will make the distinction. Then you will discern between those who serve God and those who don't serve him. Those who are doing the right thing, you know, and those who are not. God is closing the chapter because he has a quick work he has to do. The nations are crying. The world is crying. There are big problems all over. And the answer is in the church. And God cannot keep delaying the answer because of some people in the church who will not do what they should do. Closing. How? Repent of ease in Zion. Follow the leaders who are following Christ's example. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Closing with this now. Am I talking to anybody? And I'm going to read from verse 10. And you'll see why it's context. It's a warning to the whole church. And, you know, this evening or this afternoon, because I had this message for some days and it's been building up, you know, and as I was, you know, preparing, you know, and rounding up, he added some things that I hadn't even thought about, you know, and we're going to close with that in a minute. But let's read this Philippians 3 first. Look at verse 10. Paul is talking about his life, you know, his ministry, and say, look, I'm born again. This is Olubi Johnson's summary. Born again through the Holy Spirit. He said, but I'm not satisfied with that. I've had the power of God in my life, but I'm not satisfied with that. That I may know him. I didn't hear you. The power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. That if by any means I might attain on the resurrection of the dead, as have the life of God made manifest in my mortal flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. Not as though, verse 12, not as though had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after. Everybody scream, follow after. That's what you must do as we cross over into 2023. If you have not been doing it. And if you have been doing it, you have to even do it more. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth for those things which are before, I press toward the mark. I didn't hear you. For the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, if you are a part of us, give me a wave offering. He's writing to the church. And wants the whole church to be a part of it. Yet, not all the church are a part of it. That's why it says, let us. Therefore, as many as be perfect. Perfect here means mature, you know. Who wants to do this? Be thus minded. That is, have the same mind. Have the same understanding. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. That's the reason for prophetic messages. That if you still don't understand all these things I'm talking about, God will reveal it to you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God will reveal it to me. And then to your neighbor, say, God reveal it to you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us as an example. Oh, give the Apostle Paul a super clap offering. He, by the Holy Spirit, he's setting himself up as a standard. Said, follow me. Follow me. Look at us as an example. Then use us as a standard to check out other people. And that's where we're going to be closing. You know what he said? Brethren, let's say it again. Be followers together of me. Mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk. These many are not part of us, but they are all in the church. These are the tares. The ones who are thus minded, who are walking, those are the wheat. For many walk. And he's talking about unbelievers. Talking about people in the church. Of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross. Have you observed, darling, Pastor G, that most Christians hate the message of the cross? You know, we just wrote a new book, Crucifying the Flesh. It's not very popular. They are enemies of the cross. Because the cross speaks of sacrifice. It speaks of self-denial. It speaks of discipline. And people don't want to hear that. They want bread and fish, but they don't want flesh and blood. They don't want the cross. They are enemy. They are Christians, though, but they are enemies of the cross. And they hate people like me. They won't say it publicly, but in their hearts. And God knows. And they don't like this kind of preaching. And check your heart. You know, because we're going to close in a few minutes. It's time for repent, and then we're going to pray. Check your heart. What's your reaction to what I'm saying? What's all this now? This man is just always disturbing us. Like Ahab. Said, I don't like that man. He never says anything good about me. Tells you where your heart is. And you need to change it. They are enemies of the cross. I didn't hear you. Whose end is destruction? Oh, turn to your neighbor and say, your end will not be destruction in Jesus' name. Because you will not be an enemy of the cross. Whose God is their belly? He's in Zion. The ones who stretch on their bed. Overeat. Oversleep. Is what they are going to eat in Christianity they are looking for. Whose God is their belly? Whose glory is in their shame? Who mind earthly things? Have you noticed that in the church, what people look at and are the earth? That's why Derek Prince said that thing today. If in this, my Christianity is not to be judged by the kind of car I ride. Or the house I live in. Or the type of suit I wear. Now, of course, if God delights in the prosperity of his servant, so I can have a nice car, and I do. And I can have a nice house, and I do. And I can have a nice, you know, clothes, and I do. And my wife and I, you know. But come and look at our lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of self-denial. I'm 63. My wife is 62. We get up every day. 3-4 o'clock in the morning. Pray. We're not praying for prosperity. We're already prosperous. We're not praying. We're not begging God for money or something or material thing. We're praying for the kingdom. that his kingdom comes will be done. That's what God wants. Are we prosperous? Yes. Do we have a nice house? Yes. But those things are not, they do not define us. Who mind earthly things? Stop minding earthly things, oh. I'm going to give the comments and then I'm going to close. We're going to pray. Warning to the whole church. 2023 is going to be a year of vengeance, comfort, and glory, as I've explained. There are going to be two sets of people in the church. Some can change. The younger Christians, usually those who are 20 years old, I'm not talking about 20 chronologically alone. I mean, you are less than 20 years old as a Christian. You've been a Christian for less than 20 years. Just like Israel. See, when they came out of Israel, God said, all those who are 20 years and under, they'll be fine. He said, but the other older generation, he said, most of them are not going to make the promised land. Except for Joshua and Caleb. The same truth is real today. Many of them, I'm just going to read what I've been given. He said, the younger generation, less than 20, 21 years as Christians, who are not yet set in their ways. Who can say, look, God. Then the second set, some, the judgment is already fixed and cannot be changed. Because they have been given space, they've been given time, and they have not used it. And he gave me a type in the scripture. Samson. Do you know God was patient with Samson for 20 years? But I still have good news. And I'm going to close with good news. But Samson, he repented. But he died. He couldn't live... He couldn't fulfill his fullness of his destiny, but he went to heaven. And that's a break. And then some of our older ones, I'm talking about Christians now, you're set in your ways. But like Samson, if you hear me, he that hath an ear, let him hear, and say, God, please have mercy. And he have mercy, help you. But you just may not be able to enter some things. Let's stand to our feet. Some's judgment is already fixed. Nothing can be done to change it. Prayer won't change it. Nothing can change it. Because they chose what they did. Proverbs chapter 1. But like Samson, they can repent and go to heaven, though we'll suffer loss. God gave us, all of us, time since 2006 when I first preached this message. When this message was first preached to change and has allowed both the tares and the wheat to grow together. Now, the time to remove the tares has come so that the wheat can shine and manifest the glory of God. Talk to God. Let my heart be the temple of your kingdom.
Let my heart be the temple of your spirit. Let my spirit fill the warmth of your embrace.
Let me be
a holy habitation
where your spirit is. Let me.
Let my spirit feel of your embrace. Let me be a holy habitation.
A holy habitation.
Where your spirit.
A sacrifice.
Fill this temple,
Lord, with your glory in this day.
Oh Lord, I long. To know your glory,
I've come to offer a sacrifice.
Fill this temple,
Lord, with your glory.
Put one hand on your heart. Raise your other hand to God. We're going to pray in a minute. You know, I'm going to call Mommy and all the intercessors, and they're going to lead us in our prayers like we normally do at the end of the year. We're going to pray into the new year. But for now, based on what you have heard in the message, you see, the purpose of the prophet is not to condemn. It's to warn. A good government, if you're driving on the expressway and a curve is coming, they will say, danger, danger, slow down, sharp curve, front. He's not saying that because he wants you to have an accident. He's saying it so that you will not have an accident. So you will slow down. That's what God does with prophets. This message is a prophetic message. I know it's not the most palatable, but the purpose is to help you. Now talk to God. Because we're still going to pray in the spirit, but I just want you to, this is just a personal talk. Just say, God, I've heard your word. Where I've been at ease in Zion, I'll be no longer at ease. Trusting you for grace and mercy. I'll no longer be at ease in Zion. Over sleeping, over eating, over indulging. Substituting so-called praise and worship for prayer. I'll stop that. God have mercy on me. That's all. And I will follow after. Go and read Philippians 3 again. Use Paul and me and others like us as an example. Follow after. Don't be an enemy of the cross. Take up your cross daily. That's all God wants. Honesty, meek. This gospel is preached to the meek. Increase my meekness, God, so that in 2023 I will reap a harvest of glory and not a harvest of vengeance. In Jesus' name. Sit down. Mommy.